Steelers Nation, thank you kindly for tuning back into the channel for another edition of the Steeler Culture Podcast, where we break down Pittsburgh Steelers football. This episode is presented by Prize Picks. We have a special guest today for the podcast episode. You guys may know him from our previous collabs. We do at least one of these every year for the draft season. He was previously on the channel, I think it was after the Chargers Sunday night game last season, where we discussed the Steelers philosophy and how it needs to change. And I don't know if it's changed with the Mike McCarthy hires. Well, that'll be determined come next year, I suppose. But shout out to Philly G, also known as Steel Sentinel. He is the host of the Black and Bold podcast with the Steel Curtain Network. Sentinel, or Philly G, how you doing, man?
How you doing? I'm doing good, folks. Gents, it's always a great time to be on this show. We were talking about this before we hit record. We've been doing this for a long time. We were boys then, and now we are men. It has been so long, and we have gray hairs coming out of our heads now. It's great to be here. This is the three of us here. This is like our favorite time of year. This is the part of the year that gives us hope. It feels like all teams are kind of on the same playing field. Nobody has a winning record yet. No one has a losing record. So it's easy to be positive and be excited about this time of year. So I'm super excited. I'm going to be at the draft, in Pittsburgh. But this will be my first time being at the draft for all 3 days. I know I've met y'all back when we drafted Benny Snell. We met, you know, in person for the first time there during the draft at the Pittsburgh Steelers Stadium. So I'm pumped. Let's go.
Yeah, dude, we will be in Pittsburgh as well. We will be there for, I believe, all 3 days. I believe so. That is the plan. I can't wait, man. It's a once-in-a-lifetime event, once-in-a-lifetime experience. For the draft to be this close and in Pittsburgh, and with the Steelers holding 12 picks, the 21st overall in the first round as of now, things could change. But, yeah, it's very exciting. I cannot wait. I'm sure we'll meet up once again. Yeah, it's been – what was that? Was that the 2019 draft that Snell was selected?
I think it was either
– or 2018.
It was 2018 or 2019. It was the Snell, Deontay Johnson, Justin Lane. That's a throwback.
That was Devin Buzz 2019.
Yeah, that was
it?
Definitely 2019. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, talk about that draft class. Wow.
Oof. Wow. That was 7 years ago.
Oh gosh.
Wow, that is insane. Yeah, dude. And we've been doing this little draft prediction interactive mock draft every year, pretty much since that time, 2019, 2020. So it's good to get you back on for another year.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, but before we get into the interactive mock draft, we want to talk about the Steelers and their first-round options and their top 30 visits and, frankly, how unpredictable this first round could be for the Pittsburgh Steelers. How unpredictable do you think the Steelers' first round could be, seeing the top 30 visits, which we'll show here shortly, and the option that they brought in, and the fact that they have 12 picks, which could indicate a potential trade-up option? How are you feeling about the first round?
Well, the first thing I got to mention is anything's possible, right? Like, we're going to make our best guesses and estimates and things like that. But at the end of the day, anything can happen. Now, I do think there are some scenarios that are more likely than others. They have a greater probability of happening than others. For example, I think it's pretty likely the Steelers could go wide receiver or could go guard. Those are positions that are of need right now. And also, they scouted pretty heavily at the top 30 visits and also at the combine, etc. And then there are things like the Steelers drafting an edge rusher. I don't understand how analysts in the national media were saying that the Steelers are going to draft edge. They probably know nothing about this team. Those seem a little less likely to happen. But overall, you know, I'm going to get a lot of flack for this. And there is a group of my buddies who are probably rolling their eyes right now because I'm a big stickler of the top 30 method. For those that may not know, the top 30 visits, at least the past 3 years under Omar Khan's tenure, he has a 3 out of 3 that's 100% hit rate when it comes to first round prospects being in the top 30. Going back to Broderick Jones, brought him in for a top 30 visit, drafted him. Troy Fautanu brought him in for a top 30 visit, drafted him. And then even this past year, went ahead and brought Derek Harmon at the very, very end. I think he might have been the 30th person to have a top 30 visit. And then what do you know? He got drafted. You can even look back to Mike McCarthy. The 2 out of the 4 times that he had been in the position to draft somebody with the Cowboys, 50% of the time he brought somebody in. the Micah Parsons year, where they were still doing kind of these private virtual interviews because of COVID restrictions and things like that. They drafted him. And then also lineman who is blanking. His name is blanking on me, but the Mozzie Smith. There we go. Mozzie Smith, they go and they bring in for a top 30 visit and then they draft him. So that's a pretty good hit rate. That's 5 out of 7 times. That's about a 71% hit rate when it comes to those top 30 visits. So that's where my cards are in. I'm in that field of thought, but if I'm wrong, I will be loud and proud and eat some crow that I was wrong.
Yeah, and to be quite honest with you, I can't tell you the last time the Steelers didn't draft someone that they brought in for a top 30 visit, because for a long time, that was a credential that needed to be checked off for not just Mike Tomlin, but Kevin Colbert as well. In fact, there were 3 boxes that needed to be checked. It was top 30 visit, it was pro day visit, and a combine interview or combine meeting.
That's right, yeah.
So that was a huge credential that they needed to check off for the previous administration. Now Omar Khan, similar things as he's learned from guys like Colbert and Tomlin. McCarthy, like you stated with Dallas, 2 out of the 4 times he was there, he drafted guys on a top 30 visit. So I would be 100% surprised if somebody on this top 30 list isn't the pick. In fact, there's a couple of options that we're going to showcase here on screen. Is you look at the options in the first round, and I'll get this up for you, Sentinel, as well. You look at this list. You look at the first round options at the top of the chart. In terms of first round guys, it's probably Mekhi Lemon out of USC. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at one there. And then you're looking at Spencer Fanu from Utah, which is very interesting because it gives me Fatanu vibes all over again.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You look at Olaiva Vega Iowane, Vega from Penn State. Those are your 3 probably top first round options, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
You look at Emmanuel McNeil Warren, which is very interesting. Because, I mean, out of all the first 3 I mentioned, this one might most likely be there. And it's interesting they're looking at another safety from Toledo. And you look at Toledo the past several years, they've been fleshing out some studs from that school.
Yeah, big time.
Oh, yeah.
Let's take a look at Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson from San Diego State. He's getting late first-round talks. I think 21's a little rich for him. But he's getting late first-round talks. So that's a potential first-rounder there. So if you're looking at the first-round options here, I mean, those are the most likely. I got to add Denzel Boston. I'm not high on him, but I have to add him because he fits the prototype of receiver that McCarthy likes. I mean, out of those options, those are probably the most likely based off the top 30 visit mindset, right?
Yeah, so, those are 6 names that are being discussed as potential candidates to be taken in the first round in general, not just relating to the Steelers, but those are the guys that the Steelers have brought in for top 30 visits, and they are positions that the Steelers have looked heavily at as far as their top 30 visits go, their pre-draft visits. But looking at the current state of the team, it seems like receiver and guard are the top candidates to go very early, specifically in the first round.
Right.
So we're looking at Mekhi Lemon, Denzel Boston as a potential option, but also Spencer Fanu, if he were to fall so far. I know he's one of the top offensive line prospects in general. I think he's like top 3, arguably. I don't know if he's going to be there at 21, but crazier things have happened.
I fear the Ravens are going to take him.
And it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, he kind of fits of what the Steelers are kind of, or what the Ravens are looking for in offensive linemen. But if he falls to the Steelers, just like Fatanu did, I don't know if Omar Khan's really going to want to pass up on a guy of that athleticism.
You know he can play center, right? He's never played center before, but he was taking center snaps at the combine. This guy's trying to get drafted.
Yeah, big time. But if the Steelers want to look at a pure natural left guard, I mean, Iowane is the best guy to go to if you were to be there at 21.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I think when I did my last Black and Bold podcast, one of the bold takes that I had made was looking at these prospects, to me, it looks like a trade up or a trade back. When you look at guys like Fanu and Lemon and Iowane, those look like guys you're going to have to trade up for. Maybe a little bit. Maybe a lot, but they're most likely not going to be there at 21. I think that's a pretty safe bet to say. And then you look at guys like Boston, Emmanuel McNeil Warren. I didn't even think about it, but you're right. Chris Johnson even. Those are guys that maybe you could trade back and take in the late 20s, maybe even in those 30s, depending on what kind of a haul you can get. I don't think this is a year where you stick around and you pick at 21. 1, for the reasons I just mentioned. 2, you got 12 draft picks. They're not drafting 12 guys. They don't have that many spots available, and it would be silly to hold on to all 12. That's a lot of money. And the third and most important is more of a business thing that I don't think a lot of people are talking about. This is a draft in Pittsburgh, And last I checked, this franchise is not exactly on the best of terms with the fan base. Yes, there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel because of free agency, but this is probably a franchise that wants to make some noise and win out the home crowd. Remember last year in Green Bay, they hadn't drafted a wide receiver in years, let alone the first round. What do they do for the home crowd? Ding, 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 Matthew Golden, here you go. This is what you all wanted. So I think they might be a little bit splashy to kind of, you know, appease the fans. Not that that should be the main reason why they do it, but I could see it happening.
Yeah, I think that could definitely be an influence from Omar Khan. He's going to spoil us a little bit. He spoiled us with the draft and the picks that he's done ever since taking over the GM spot. But I think there's going to be a little bit of a home field, I guess, advantage or a home field influence that, hey, let's go make a big move. We got all these picks. And I agree, they don't need 12 picks. That's one of the first things we mentioned during the mock draft season is the Steelers don't need all 12 picks. Could they make all 12 picks? Absolutely. But do they need all 12 picks? I just don't see 12 rookies making the roster.
No, especially after their activity in free agency, and they were very active within that first week of free agency. I don't think it's ideal to keep 12. Again, if they do, it's not really the worst idea. It wouldn't necessarily be a bad option to do so. It's just kind of hard to picture all 12 making the roster. But yeah, it seems like trading up seems like the more ideal situation, especially with some of the top 30 visits with the first round candidates that they have brought in.
Yeah. Now, the receiver and guard are probably the two most likely options. In your opinion, Philly G, what is the biggest need and what would be your preferred position they go up and grab, whether that's staying at 21 or trading up?
So it comes down to two things, right? There are people that say best player available is the way to go. And then there are people that say, go find a guy that you're absolutely in love with and go grab him. And I'm of the field of thought right now that as much as I'd want a wide receiver in this draft, I would love to go up and get a Mekhi Lemon. I just think that there's more value in the second and even third rounds. I don't think they would wait that long to go grab a wide receiver in this deep class. Whereas guard, really, I mean, if you really want to get picky, there's two really great guards, and then there's everybody else, right? There's Ioana, and there's Fanu, and then there's a bunch of other guys. Yes, Pregnon is good. Dunker is good. Rutledge is good. But if you can get Vega, I mean, this is someone who is going to really help. I mean, think about every team that has had like two or three very good linemen, right? Look at the Steelers back in the like 2010s. They had a very good center in Pouncey. They had a phenomenal guard in DeCastro, and they had a phenomenal tackle in Villanueva.
I miss that.
We have Frazier. Hopefully that's your new center for the future. You have either Jones or Fatanu. I'm hopeful one of the two is going to make it to the end of the tunnel here. And then if you can just get one more really good piece like Vega, you're set. You are set now. And I think an offensive lineman is going to help your future franchise quarterback more than another wide receiver of a high caliber. So me personally, on my big board of all the guys I'm looking at on this screen right now, number one is Vega. Number one is Vega, and then right immediately after that for me is Lemon, and then right immediately after Lemon is Fanu. That's how I would put my three choices there. Vega, then Lemon, then Fanu.
Yeah, I would agree, except I'm going to have to swap one and two because I've always been it's like Mekhi's like my guy, like my number one desire. If it's up to me and I'm in Omar's seat and I got the phones on deck, I'm trading up. I don't care if you got to trade up in front of the Ravens, in front of the Rams, in front of the Jets, even the Dolphins, which obviously you can't trade to 10 with the Bengals because they're just not going to do that for you. But that would require you to trade some 2027 capital. And I know damn well Omar does not want to do that because he's keeping all that for an obvious reason, as long as that class pans out.
Yes, of course. Now, when I look at the roster currently, they have their wide receivers. That's obvious. They have DK. They have Pittman as wide receiver one and two. They don't have a number three right now. You could argue that's Roman, but we haven't seen anything out of Roman Wilson legitimately. I mean, I feel like that's a big gamble to really give him the nod to be wide receiver 30, and you can't just gift it to him. He needs some real competition for him to showcase that he has earned a right to be the wide receiver 3. And the wide receiver position, they need a true separator. They need a true route runner. They need a true playmaker and a young stud at that. considering how deep this wide receiver class is and how many names that they could fall back on day two, maybe they don't view wide receiver as an immediate need come round one. Though Mekhi Lemon is extremely tempting, and it wouldn't surprise me if the Steelers were to do that, considering the Steelers have not selected a wide receiver in 20 years since Antonio Holmes, and the fact that the draft is held in Pittsburgh, it seems like a good time to end that streak. However, Omar Khan and Andy Weidel and just their philosophy of going with the trenches in the first round, I could see the Steelers without a doubt going with that trend, continuing with that, and a guy like Vega is hard to pass up on considering he is a pure left guard, a position that they have bodies that can start, but I don't think they're natural guys at that position. You get a guy like Vega to select in the first round to fill that hole come day one and be that starter for 10 plus years. I feel like in the Steelers' mind, in Omar Khan and Andy Weidel's mind, that is just a better value pick in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, if he's there, and then listen, I might be delusional in saying this. I'm gonna rely on this little bit of hope. I think he could be there at 21. Crazier things have happened. And you notice, like, they aren't bringing in a lot of first-round guys, and they're really keeping all their bases covered primarily because they have the majority of their picks later on. They have four day-two picks, right?
Yeah.
Whether they keep all four day-two picks is to be determined. Now, on this top 30 list, Philly G, is there anyone that's not on there that surprised you?
Yeah, Dylan Thienemann surprised me, especially because, you know, they brought in somebody like Emmanuel McNeil Warren. I guess that they're probably expecting him to be there at 21 or beyond, maybe if they trade back. Thienemann might not even make it to 21. He might go to the Vikings. You would have to maybe even trade up to get him. So that's why I don't think they went ahead and went with him. But he's probably the one that shocks me the most. Because Caleb Downs, you have a better chance of a Project Hail Mary movie happening in real life before you ever think about Caleb Downs falling far enough for the Steelers to draft him.
Yeah.
By the way, if you haven't seen Project Hail Mary, fantastic.
Yes.
But I get why they didn't bring him in. But Thienemann surprised me, especially when you look at somebody like a Jacoby Thomas, who, again, he's like a late-round guy that you could pick up for depth, but Thienemann, at least they talked to him at the combine. That's why I was confused. Maybe they got a sense from the other GMs that he just wasn't going to be there.
Yeah, it's very possible. I mean, obviously all that goes into play here. What about a certain receiver? Are there one, two, maybe three certain receivers you're surprised they didn't bring it for top 30 visits?
Yeah, Zachariah Branch is interesting to me because the reports came out that they brought him to dinner. And usually in the past, I feel like when the Steelers have brought out people to dinner, like when they brought out all those Ohio State guys many years in the past, all those Alabama guys many years in the past, usually one of them makes it to the top 30 visit. So it's interesting. Maybe they heard something at dinner or got a vibe check at dinner that maybe didn't, you know, pan out to what they had hoped. Maybe he was a bit cocky. Maybe he wasn't. So that one shocked me. And then Casey Concepcion shocked
mm-hmm.
me. Maybe it's the fear of the drops, but the kid's electric. Like if you want one person who probably is the most explosive route runner and who's just absolutely dynamite after the catch, it's Concepcion. The fear, I guess, would just be maybe his concentration. It doesn't surprise me that they didn't bring in Cooper. They already have somebody in the building who's probably talking their ear off about Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same reason why they probably didn't bring in somebody like a Jordan Tyson. They got Hines Ward. If they really want to know about Jordan Tyson, they'll go call up Hines Ward. They don't need to see God knows what. His film speaks for itself. The only question would really be his medicals, which you're not going to get at his pro day anyways. They're not going to be at the pro day and be like, hey, this guy's injured all the time. His legs are trash. His bones are made of glass. Like, they're not going to say that. So what does it even matter going?
Right. And it's interesting because Tyson actually had his workout today, and there were apparently over 20 NFL teams and executives there. And he looked good. I mean, when he's healthy, when he's ready to go, he always looks good.
No, I know, he's just explosive.
I know he's still nagging a hamstring injury, which took him out of drills at his pro day and I believe at the combine, but he was finally able to get his drill done today. I don't know. There's no reports as of this recording that the Steelers were there, but even still, again, going back to the original discussion, it would be very surprising if the Steelers select someone that is not on their top 30 list in the first round.
Yeah, big time.
No, I just don't see it. But, yeah, I was surprised myself about Casey Concepcion. Omar Cooper, I agree, because they already have Cignetti's brother in the front or in the coaching staff, so that's all they need to know. And yeah, Casey Concepcion, I get the drop issues. Maybe Omar's getting Deontay flashbacks. Only Casey Concepcion has a higher ceiling, but even still, yeah, the guy's electric. But yeah, I was surprised they didn't bring him in as well, or even Branch, like you mentioned, or like a Elijah Surratt from Indiana, since they are. They want to bring in that championship pedigree, right? I've noticed with a lot of their previous draft classes, they brought in a ton of championship pedigree, guys that have competed at a championship level, guys that have won the championship level. Will Howard, Jack Sawyer just last year, Roman Wilson the year prior, Troy Fatanu that same year, obviously Darnell and Broderick and Pickens, right? They brought in all those guys, even Mason McCormick from South Dakota State. But yeah, I was surprised they didn't bring any of the Indiana Cats in. It was very surprising to me.
Very surprising.
Now, do you want to get into the interactive mock draft now? Is there anything else you want to mention regarding the top 30 list?
Before we get into the top 30 visits, I just got to clear my chest for a second here.
Go for it.
Just bear with me. Can we stop the rebranding, air quotes there? You can't see me, but I'm air quoting, rebranding of uniforms and jerseys. If I have to see one more team be like, hey, this is our new uniform, we changed the shoelaces and changed the color of the zipper, and we're going to make this big expensive post about it, I'm going to lose my marbles. Okay. I don't know what Kool-Aid they're drinking in the Rams front office. Surely it must be something good, because they thought it would be okay to just like change a shoulder pad logo, change their main logo to all blue, and then just tweak the jersey a little bit and say, yep, this is the new era of our uniforms. They're the Ravens. They're like, let's add some feathers around the collar, switch around the logo and the colors, and call it the new era, the next flight. It's just ridiculous. You know, I think if we're following that process, the Steelers should just switch the logo from one helmet to the other, on the other side of the helmet, and call it a rebranding.
Yeah, the new helmets and look the new it. Colors. Like,
yeah, I mean,
don't. How is it new exactly?
It's not.
It's not. All they did was add the Raven wings or whatever to the neck collar.
But listen, it could be worse. We could be the Browns and just go from a darker shade of orange to a lighter shade of orange. That's all they did.
Yeah.
They didn't change anything else. They just went, let me turn up the brightness on this a little bit. That's it.
It's not exactly a new. I think redesign would just be a better phrase. Like, if they just came out and said, oh, we redesigned the uniform or redesigned the helmet, I think that just come off a lot better. To call all the stuff new, like new helmets, new designs, it just doesn't make any sense
to
me. Yeah,
you can't call something new when it is the most minuscule of change you could ever imagine. Like, they put probably 0.01% of effort into it.
Yeah, it's like if it's a new uniform or a new helmet, make it a new uniform or helmet.
Yeah.
How did the Browns have an all-brown uniform before an all-white uniform? I will never let that go down. The all-brown dude wipes uniform.
Oof.
Absolutely not.
No, yeah, I don't understand it. But yeah, we just had to get that off our chest because the Ravens did it. The Rams did it, I think, the same day. What team is next? The Titans changed their logo. What are they doing?
The Titans are the worst. It is so bland. I can't stress that enough.
I like the colors. I like the more retro colors. Mm-hmm. I wish more teams would embrace that.
That is one good thing, yes.
But the logo, what happened? What happened? It looks like they copied the Steelers. It's a circle with more hypocycloid-looking stars. There's three of them in the Titans logo. Like, it's so and they took the flames away, which was like the only thing that made them look different.
Right.
It's like a great value logo.
Yeah. It's like the Oilers with this great value. Listen, this is what I think the Titans should have done. Just do like Tennessee does in college. Just put a giant T in the middle and call it a day.
Right.
Just make it a light blue T with some red outline and call it a day.
Or even if they had like the, I don't know what they call it, the old school Houston Oilers like stack. Well, I don't know what the hell they call that damn thing. It's like a stack.
Like an oil drill or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could have incorporated something like that just to, you know, dig deep back into their history. But no, they literally just took the colors and the T for the Titans and said, that's it. We're done here.
So there we go. There we have it.
Oh, God. All right, now let's get into this interactive mock draft. Let me get this popped up here for you and, of course, the stream here. All set up. Okay, we are on PFN, so we're going to use this mock draft similar because Sentinel uses this a lot, Philly G uses this a lot, and frankly, I do like their draft board a little more. It's a little bit more accurate
And I like the in-depth that they put into each player's profile. It's such in-depth to the point they're down to the top 30 visits for each player. Like, it's very in-depth. And shout out to them for all the effort they put in there. So that's why we're going to use this this time around.
Good quality free site. Unlike PFF that makes you only get like three, I think like two or three rounds. Then you got to pay for the rest. Ridiculous.
Yeah, not fun. Not fun at all. So that's why we're going to go here. We have seven rounds. We're going to go on fast mode, PFSN, big board, and of course the Steelers. We're going to enter. Now, the way we're going to do this, let me pause it quick. The way we're going to do this is Philly G has the first pick. We gave him that luxury because he's the guest here. We're going to give him the first pick. We're going to give him the power, really much, of deciding how many picks we have. We have 12 here. Are we going to have 12 remaining? Or are you trying to see how the board falls and then make your decision upon that?
Well, here's the thing. Just because, you know, we have this set on fast, and if we press play, it might zoom all the way past what I'm thinking. But in my mind's eye, in theory, the Steelers would wait till right around what the Chiefs do, because I think there's a few teams that are going to dictate what the Steelers do in the first round. I think the Chiefs, the Dolphins, the Rams, and the Ravens are like the four big teams, depending on where they want to trade up to what they want to do. And I think, in theory, depending on what the Chiefs would take, that there's a world in which what I'm about to say would happen. And so I'm trading with the Dallas Cowboys. I think if there's one team that we could trade with that's ahead of the Ravens and the Rams, two teams that are looking for wide receiver and guard, and also screw over the divisional opponent in the Ravens, it's the Cowboys. Because they have that connection now with Mike McCarthy. They've done business in the past. And there was some legitimate sources saying that they were interested in Patrick Queen. So I think right here, in my mind's eye, we can't trade players in this, but I would be trading our first to the Cowboys, Patrick Queen, and a third.
Okay.
So we might have to fudge it just to make that happen for our fans at home here. But that, if you're probably thinking, like, why'd they throw a random first in there? Ignore that. Know that right now we're doing a first, Patrick Queen, and we're going to aim for like the 99th pick in the third round.
Okay. Now, do you want me to propose the trade now, or would you rather it go through and then see how the board falls?
I'm going to say we just do it now, just because, again, I feel like they're going to be like, likely reject. So you might need to fudge it and throw in a first, even though that wouldn't actually happen in real life. We're kind of just forcing it for the time being. So you can.
Yes. Yeah. So chat, we are not trading our first round next year. Omar Khan's not going to do that. This first represents the first round pick for the Ravens many years ago and Patrick Queen. So that first is Patrick Queen.
Yeah, exactly. So we're just forcing a trade to make a point here.
It's all about imagination.
Yeah, imagination. We're gonna let's see what we get.
Confirm. There we go. All right. Now I'm gonna hit resume. It's gonna do 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 do. Oh man. We're not gonna trade back.
Because with the first pick in the 2026 NFL Draft, the Pittsburgh Steelers will select Mekhi Lemon.
Ooh.
Let's go.
Mekhi Lemon in front of the Rams and the Ravens.
The reason I say Mekhi Lemon is, as much as I would love, I just talked so highly about Vega. If you're going to trade up and give away that much capital, by God, you better go do it for somebody who's going to be a wide receiver one on your team down the road, who has a very high ceiling, and wide receiver just is the type of pick that you would trade up for. You don't trade all that capital to go get a guard. I don't care if it's Quentin Nelson. You don't do that. It just doesn't make sense.
I slightly disagree. I get why people say that. It's not much of a skill position as receiver, right? But I think with someone like Vega, you could trade up, and you're still going to get 10 to 15 years out of them. So it's well worth it. But I understand why you don't, because it's not as much of a skilled position, but it does pay off.
The wide receiver room now is DK Metcalf, Mekhi Lemon, and Michael Pittman.
Dude.
Good God.
Holy moly. And Joe Schmo throwing the ball.
Yeah, I don't know who, but I mean, whoever who is going to love that those targets. I mean, wow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been saying it all offseason is like we ought to take kind of like a mold, a recipe, pretty much a play out of their playbook from the Seahawks. Seahawks had DK and Lockett by the time they took JSN in the first round. Now, look, they're both gone. JSN moved outside, had one of the best seasons out of any receiver in Seahawks history, and their receiver history is plethora good.
Yep.
So kind of rip that play from their playbook where we take Lemon, start him out in the slot, and then eventually, I doubt Pittman's going to be here for more than 2 years, and then you swap out Lemon to the outside, he's your new one. Now we're going to get to the second round. We have the 53rd overall pick. Rob, are we staying?
I think we stay for now.
Okay.
I think we stay for now. Just kind of see how the draft falls.
Here we go. Oh, Emmanuel McNeil Warren was one pick away. Those stupid, unrealistically bad logo Titans.
Those bland Titans. All right, who do we got on the board here?
We have D'Angelo Pons, my boy. That's another player I'm surprised they didn't bring him for a top 30 visit. Probably because they don't expect him to fall. But damn. Oh,
he's such a good player.
He is, dude. I mean, Trayden Stukes they also brought in. Caitlin Rutledge is right there. We need guard. And I don't think we can wait any much longer.
Yeah, because I'm a firm believer of wide receiver and guard being the first two picks. And whatever position they take first round, the next position is that selection. And they brought Caitlin Rutledge in for a top 30 visit.
Yes.
Agreed.
So I think right here is a no-brainer. I think you go with the guard right here in Rutledge.
We're going to go Rutledge here at 53. Bam. And I'm going to pause this. In case you want anything, if you want to do anything crazy, or you want to stay put at 76,
I'm gonna be a little loco in la cabeza. That means crazy in the head for all of you non-Spanish speakers. I want to see if we can trade back into the second because you got 2 third-round picks, you got 2 fourth-round picks. There might be a world in which they could maybe trade. I would rather have a player in the second round than a late player in the third. So. If Trayden Stukes is still there, that's crazy to me. If we could maybe get him, that would be fantastic. So see if potentially our boy Stukes is there right at around picks. Let's see with the Broncos.
All right. I'm going to.
You better be quick with this,
I'm going to be as quick as I ever am.
Go.
Bam, bam. Man, you're good.
Hold on. Watch, I'm going to it's like trying
wait,
to get.
Actually, don't move.
Okay.
All right. Because the Bears had 2 second-rounders. So let's try to get with that second Bears pick here. They already got D'Angelo Pons. So I want to try and trade with the Bears. Man, you nailed it with the speed on your clicker there.
It's like trying to get an equal number at the gas pump.
Yep.
Try and give them one of our thirds and one of our fourths and see if that quells the storm.
Okay, I'm gonna be cheap here. I'm gonna go 135 first. Okay. Okay, hold on. We might be on to something.
There you go.
Propose?
Yeah, because listen here, we have an extra third to fall back on, and we have that fourth round comp. It's not the end of the world here.
Do it. Do it.
Do it. We got it.
Oh boy, here we go.
Get me some Stukes. Stukes, please. And the reason why I like Stukes, because I'm gonna be honest, I was. It's not that I wasn't high on the guy. I really didn't know much about him. I had to, like, go and look him up. He reminds me a lot of Cam Sutton.
Yeah.
A lot of Cam Sutton. That kind of corner safety flexibility and how they want to use him. I didn't even realize Cam Stukes, you know, was as highly, you know, touted as he was. I thought this was, like, a third-round guy. People are talking about this guy maybe going at the end of the first. So the fact that he's there at the end of the second, you know, I think if Omar can flip 5 picks in the top 100 instead and get these 3 players, guys, look what we've done.
Bro.
Akai, Lemon, Rutledge, and Stukes.
Dude. This might be the best mock ever.
Omar, if you're watching, which I doubt you are, but I'm telling you, bro, listen.
Take some notes, baby.
We're going to take.
This is the blueprint right here.
And yeah, I know Stukes is an older rookie. He played 6 years there. I don't care. Okay, I don't care. You're getting a damn good player out of this.
You're getting a hybrid defender that could also have reps at split safety, but you're looking for that slot corner with great ball production.
Dude. And I can already hear people complaining, well, what about Caleb Banks? They didn't bring Caleb Banks in for a top 30 visit, folks, so I'm not looking at him.
No, same thing.
J. Halsey.
Yeah.
J. Halsey.
Yeah, I was surprised they didn't bring him in, or even Abney, because Abney's very, very dominant too. But the first three picks here are top three visits, so trading Stukes it is. Now, Rob, do we want to spoil the crowd?
I think we're good with where we're at. I think we can ride it down to, what is it, 85 now?
85.
I think we can ride it down, see who's on the board.
All right.
Lone third round pick.
All right. Here we go.
Kind of got my eye on the player, but let's see. Let's see.
Here. Let's take a look who's on the board. We have, well, we only running back, but Washington and Price are going to be good day two picks. Bryce Lance? They didn't look at him. I'm surprised. They looked at his quarterback.
Yeah.
They didn't look at him much.
No, they didn't really look at him much. I see Muhammad there, who they brought in for top 30 visit, but we already went corner.
Yeah, and there's Zakaria Branch out of Georgia, pro day dinner.
If we want to double dip a wide receiver, but I see a player. I see a player who they brought in for a top 30 visit. That's a part of the trenches right there.
Hey,
and Daryl Jackson out of Florida State.
We got Daryl Jackson. This guy is this guy's large.
I know. For those that may have or may have not watched, Patrick Graham just had a presser today talking about how he really appreciates how the Steelers have been disciplined in bringing these big linemen in. I mean, he called out guys like Harmon and Benton and Hayward and noted how big they were. If he wants to stay along with the big body and Black, if they want to bring more big guys on in there, this guy's, my God, he's got like a 7-foot wingspan. That's crazy.
86-inch wingspan, bro. He's huge.
11-inch hands. Like, unbelievable. Yeah, go get this guy.
Step on to it.
Yeah, plug him at the nose to start off. He's got some pass rush upside to move the 3-tech down the road. Yeah, go get Daryl Jackson out of Florida State.
Yeah, this mock man, we are cooking.
All right, so we have picks. Let's look at the remaining picks. We got 135, 161, 216, 224, 230, and 237. Now,
look at those first four picks.
Bro, look at that. Oh, man. Damn. Now, I've noticed what you've done the past two picks is trade up. Do you have one more in you, or are you going to stay at 135?
Listen, I have all the room to trade up. However, if I'm trying to be somewhat realistic for the crowd at home, which I've already not been realistic the whole time, I think that there's like two good moves Khan can get. I really do. And I think that if they were able to move up in the first and move up again in the second, you're really just looking for depth guys at this point. And really, I mean, if you look at who's left on the board, there's not really anybody that amazing that would warrant, like, there's nobody that's dropped that far that you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
How do you go up and get that? Because with that one, four, you know, we have a fourth left over, a fifth, a sixth, and 3/7. I think you can really, for me at least, I think I'm just going to stick and pick and see who's there in the fourth round because I have somebody in mind. But we're going to see if he's still there.
All righty. Well,
let's just let it play out.
We're going to resume here.
Let the music play.
Jeopardy.
Do, 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 do. We are waiting. Now we're on the board. Who you want to go?
All right. Let's see who we got. Can you show me the linebackers, please?
Yes. Yes. I was hoping a certain guy would fall, but he's never fucking fallen at 135 here.
Well, it's interesting you say Kyle Lewis because I had a buddy of ours point this out. He's pretty undersized for a linebacker. I think that he would probably make the move to safety, and we already kind of got that. But if the Steelers wanted to go with kind of that hybrid safety dude who's just a playmaking machine, who's the hometown kid, they 1,000% could go ahead and take Kyle Lewis.
There's been enough interest, man. I personally like – I get he's undersized, 6'2", 220. He's like a slimmer Patrick Queen, if you will. But even like if it's worst case scenario, he moves up to a box safety. That's a big ass box safety. That's athletic as hell.
Absolutely. Now, in my mind, there are two players that are already kind of peak, or three players, really. There's Jack Kelly there, who's kind of more of a fifth round pick. There's a chance he could not be there anymore. He's nice. I think he would be a complimentary piece to what they have. His closing speed is out of this world.
Mm hmm. Very athletic, too.
Yes. On offense, if you mind going to wide receiver, I think Kendrick Law is an interesting guy. Not for the receiving part. I don't even know if he's there anymore.
He's where did he go?
I was going to say Kendrick Law is interesting just because he has that return ability.
He went to the Browns.
So he's not on the board. And this is where I get nervous. I get nervous because of what they're going to do at quarterback.
Uh-oh.
And with somebody on the board like Drew Aller.
No.
Oh, God.
I worry that they would make that move.
I was going to ask you, how do you feel about Drew Aller? Because I'm not a fan.
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of any of these quarterbacks, truth be told, and I really don't think that they should even look at one till the fifth round, personally.
I agree. I agree. That's just how we feel.
Don't worry, I'm not going to pick quarterback.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying, it could happen right around here. Do you mind going to all? I'm just curious.
Yes.
Because there's nobody in particular that I'm like, wow, that person is absolutely amazing. Actually, let's look at the tackles. I want to see if Markell Bell is still on the board here.
I mean, oh, he is actually. He's a little slimmer down there, but there's no guarantee he'll be there at 161. I could actually see the Steelers kind of taking him here as a sweet spot.
Yeah.
Give me some Markell Bell, please.
Oh, Markell Bell, big, a 6'9".
Yeah, he's huge. He's a big dude. He held it down, left tackle.
The reach, I mean, maybe, but again, if we get the four picks that we had before Markell Bell, I don't care what happens the rest of the draft. I really don't.
Right, and frankly, with the distance between some of these picks, they might, quote-unquote, reach for guys. That's just because they're not going to be there at the later spot. So they feel comfortable and willing to take these guys at a certain spot earlier than probably what consensus says. But keep in mind, yeah, after the first 2 days, essentially, everybody's just depth and filling roster spots at this point.
Yeah, so you wouldn't really consider it a reach. It's not really the worst thing to happen.
All right, Rob, let's keep this going.
Let's go to the fifth, man.
161.
Well, we're talking quarterback here, and the fifth is something that we are more accepting of, prone to doing.
Yeah, I mean, to me, they shouldn't take a quarterback no earlier than the fifth. I mean, that's just kind of how this class has panned out.
Yes.
There's two guys that point out to me immediately. There's Cole Payton based off of the interest, and Deshaun Stribling because I think he's an underrated day three guy. For depth, and when I'm looking at wide receiver depth, I know they want that return aspect ability. I'm looking at someone with some receiving upside and someone that's a good blocker, can play special teams. I think Stribling brings that here. And
as far as return duties, I think we can wait till the later rounds to kind of look for a guy like that. I think that's more acceptable.
Do you think they take running back? Because Nick Singleton is here from Penn State.
Yeah, I know. And I know he's coming off an injury, but he's cleared. He's good to go. And he's an intriguing option. But just looking at the running back room, we know they have Warren, Dowdle. They still have Johnson. I don't think they really look for a running back here in the fifth. That's just my opinion. I think they go quarterback here. And considering that Cole Payton was a guy that they brought in for a top 30 visit, and he brings a good skill set, he brings some intrigue, some promise, even in some scheme packages where you can utilize his rushing ability, which is very, very good, and he's very athletic, I think he's somebody the Steelers look at, especially if he's there in the fifth. I like Stribling. I like going for some receiving upside, some depth there, and I think Stribling fits the mold of a Steelers wide receiver and what you want. He's a great blocking wide receiver.
Right.
I don't know if they really looked at him a lot.
No, not as much as like a Jeff Caldwell who we could save for like the seventh round.
Yeah, they could. Though I like Stribling a lot. I really do. But I think they go Cole Payton here with 161.
Oh, man, that would be such a fun quarterback battle. Will Howard and Cole Payton.
Yes. That'd be young, intriguing, youthful there. It would give me something to look forward to this upcoming season.
And then you would have your quarterback room till next year. You
yeah.
Find one of the guys or you got backups for the next couple of years.
Right. And you know, I keep going back to what McCarthy said in his opening presser when he signed for the Steelers head coaching gig. There was a question asked by the Steelers media. Is like, what has evolved the most to you about the quarterback position? And it's that, oh, they can run the ball. They're mobile. They can extend plays with their feet. It seems to me McCarthy just told you what he wants in a quarterback. So Cole Payton is probably one of the more better rushing quarterbacks who actually has a little bit of a quarterback upside in terms of his deep ball. That's kind of where his best trade is. Just look at Bryce Lance's tape. So we're going to go Cole Payton here and pretty much spare Philly G from taking quarterback later on because after Payton, it's just not
it doesn't good. It doesn't look pretty. So I think Payton's the best option available on the board here.
I'm going to take him, and we're going to go all the way down to 216 unless you want to bundle up a bunch of your six sevens to get back into the fifth.
I'm going to forget that you just said those terrible two numbers.
Yes.
Back
I wasn't trying to say anything.
Oh, no. This. Oh, God.
I'm just going to ride it out here.
All right. Let's go. I'm sorry.
I think the only acceptable way to say it is if we're talking about Darnell Washington.
Yes. Okay.
Facts. All right. Interestingly enough, there's a tight end here that I think could be an interesting third option in Marlon Klein, which is probably mm-hmm. where I'm going to go in this sixth here. He's a big guy. He's like 6'5". He can do a little bit of everything. I don't know too much about him, but he's one of the only tight ends that they brought in. And he was pretty okay. He's only got to be a third round guy. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So he's more of a receiving wide receiver, but when you have someone as good as Darnell who blocks, you really don't need another blocking tight end. So that's what I think I'm going to go with here. I think Marlon Klein is going to be my guy here.
I'll tell you what, Jedi ain't going to be happy with you because you're taking him over Will Kazmarek, who's the only other tight end they brought in for a top 30 visit.
Oh well.
Yeah, we're gonna go with the Michigan. Go Blue. I'm not a Michigan fan, by the way. I'm definitely not a Michigan fan. Don't get me wrong.
No.
Okay, so we took Marlon Klein. I like that. I like that because he does bring a lot of upside in all assets. Now we got 224 here. We still haven't taken receiver. There's a receiver on here that did bring in for a top 30 visit. And he is a big body. He is a speedster. He's an athlete. Now, I do admit that I think he's not as physical for his size or as dominant for his size as he could be, especially in the 50-50 department. But this is the seventh round we're talking about.
Justin Hunter.
Pretty much.
Tall and fast.
God, that isn't.
Or Darius Heyward-Bey, if you really want to throw it back.
Yeah, God, those are names I haven't thought of in a while.
Yeah, it's been a bit. Wow.
Wow, that is a throwback. Especially the Justin Hunter one. Holy shit. Yo, like, no, because I appreciated Darius Heyward-Bey for his special teams ability. And they used him on jet sweeps with Haley in them.
Right. This guy could just be a gunner. You know what I mean? Just be a gunner.
Absolutely. Fast. This is the seventh round we're talking about. We're looking for depth and camp bodies and special teams assets. Jeff Caldwell,
yeah.
We go.
Yes.
We've mentioned this in the past. The seventh round to me is essentially the practice squad guys and the undrafted free agents you don't have to fight for. These are the undrafted guys that I don't have to compete with and fight with contract-wise, and I'm just going to scoop them up now.
Exactly.
Caldwell feels like a practice squad or like an undrafted free agent guy who's going to fight for a bottom roster spot. And if not, you stash him on the practice squad for a year.
Yeah, one. And for a seventh-round flyer, why not? Why not go get a big body speedster for special teams? Big time.
Exactly. Let's see who we have so far on our picks here.
Okay, woo!
So wide receiver, guard, corner, offensive tackle. Or defensive tackle, then offensive tackle, quarterback, tight end, wide receiver. Still no linebacker.
No, that's right.
Let's go linebacker.
Yeah, I was so upset to see Bryce Betcher gone.
Yeah.
After.
And he ended. Freaking Titans. Like, what the hell?
They're taking all our picks.
Let's try a linebacker here because, I don't know, I would love.
There's one that was a local visit that's rated so low. That's Jaden Duggar.
Yeah, it's essentially just a. An undrafted free agent at that point.
Why don't we go get Jay Jettas, you know? Hey, wait a minute. Maybe our wide receiver troubles. Oh, he's a linebacker? Oh.
Yeah,
oh,
Dan, you got to run. That's a different one.
Now imagine, just for fantasy reasons, imagine someone sees that and freaks out.
Yeah, just like with the Falcon situation with B. Robinson?
Yes.
Yeah. Really. Oh, God. God bless them.
What about corner?
All right, that's good. Okay, I like that. How many Marcus Allens are going to play football? Good Lord.
What about, let's just go all. I feel like at this point it might be just a click the all button. Our Lord and Savior, Cade Klubnik. Just kidding.
No.
I don't know any of these players at this
okay,
point.
Okay, let's see if I can help out. We already took tackle depth. Noah Winnington for a run. I mean, if he was Tim Keenan we already went in defensive line, but he's a bigger guy. He's just not as strong as you want him to be at this
long snapper.
Oh my God!
Yeah, who remembers Colin Holba? Remember that?
Yes.
They didn't even make the roster.
Good Lord! I mean, if you want
to
talk,
actually, I'm curious. Go to special teams.
Oh my God! No.
Good. Let me see.
You're gonna get punter, aren't you?
I wish. No. So, a good friend of mine. Her sister is a cheerleader for Penn State, and her boyfriend is actually a long snapper for Penn State and is probably going to be drafted this year. So I was thinking.
Get out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get out.
Maybe he was the guy, but I don't see him on here unless you see Penn State somewhere. I don't think long snappers in this mock.
No. Where would they label them?
Probably special teams.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm kind of stuck here. Who should we?
All right, let's. Unless we want to go another running back, Jamarian Miller's a bigger guy, slower. I'm trying to think here. I mean,
what about another wide receiver?
Hey, you know what? Hold on, we need some return specialist ability.
Yeah, we don't. We haven't picked one yet.
Well, hold on. Is there anyone here?
Is the dude from Iowa still there?
Yeah, he's
Kane Wedgen,
488.
I don't know why he's that low.
Pick him.
Dude, it's the return specialist. Boom.
It's the seventh round. We're going Caden Wedgen.
I'll leave the last pick to y'all because I'm officially out of picks.
Yeah, Rob, I'll leave it to you, my guy.
Oh man. Here, let me look back at the picks that we selected. Let me look.
Still no linebacker.
No, still no linebacker.
Good Lord, that's the big. And we traded, keep in mind, we traded Queen. Oh God.
Oh, God, we did.
Malik Harrison, you better step the fuck up.
Oh, God.
We are going to get destroyed in the comments.
It's all right. It's all right. We're going to make a trade. Omar's going to make a trade, and I hope, for a linebacker.
Yeah, that trade in the first round was Patrick Queen still on the roster. It was all in your imagination. That's just the first and a third, and Malik Harrison.
Yeah, we take back what we said. Patrick Queen was not traded for the reasons that we don't have a linebacker.
Well, we better hope Cole Holcomb stays healthy and he does what he can do. I forgot he was still here. Yeah, I mean, if he needs to start, so be it. I mean, I have faith in Cole Holcomb.
All right, so we took Mekhi Lemon, Kalen Rutledge, Traydon Dukes, Stukes, Daryl Jackson. Gotta hit myself. Markel Bell, Cole Payton, Marlon Klein, Jeff Caldwell, Caden Wedgen.
I don't think we double dipped in schools here.
No, which is something the Steelers typically do.
Yeah, that they would do. Let me see the safety position.
I mean, I know Cole Wisniewski's there. I do like him.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that Jacoby Thomas would be there. I'm not surprised he's taken off, though.
Defensive line, I mean, they brought in James Thompson Jr. If you want to double dip, it's not necessary.
No, I wouldn't say so. I mean, Jackson just kind of fills D-line.
Linebacker here. Save our hides.
Eric Gentry, six. I'm not going to say it again. 221.
He's 6'6". I think he's 6'6".
No, he's not. He's 6. You know what?
Okay, God, fine.
I hate this generation. They have brain rotten that term.
Well, listen. We need to fill linebacker. We haven't double dipped in schools. And listen, it's a flyer, right? It's worth the shot. It's worth the experiment. And I don't know who else to go. I don't know what else to do.
You know what? I like it. He's an athlete. He's tall. He might not be a starter, but you know what? Hey, for the sake of taking a linebacker because we traded one.
Eric Gentry, why the hell not? You are a Pittsburgh Steeler.
There you go.
There we have it.
There we have it. So there it is, and we do two trades in this mock, bro.
Yes, we did. Let me see if I can get all
of
that.
One of them was not giving away Patrick Queen. That was definitely not something.
Yeah, no. Who said that? That definitely didn't happen.
Yeah, we traded the. Yeah, we traded Steely McBeam, and
yeah, you see that one in the middle? Yeah, just that you that's a lie. Like,
just put a picture of Steely McBeam there.
I'll put that in the edit.
They can have him.
Yeah, they'll take. Yeah, we don't need a mat. We don't even have cheerleaders.
We don't?
No, no.
Oh wow!
You never knew that?
No,
bro. Steelers have never had cheerleaders. Dallas has them. They just don't. Do they have a mascot? Yeah, they got someone with that stupid cowboy head.
Yeah, it's like the cowboy guy, whatever his name is.
Our overall draft was a B+. That's a passing grade in my book.
Yeah, I agree. So to recap, Mekhi, we traded up with the Cowboys at 12 to get Mekhi Lemon. We got Kalen Rutledge, and Philly G traded up with the Bears to get the pick 60 to get Traydon Stukes. Then 85, we took Daryl Jackson Jr., 135, Markel Bell, 161, Cole Payton, 216, Marlon Klein, 224, Jeff Caldwell, 230, Caden Wetchin, and 237, for the sake of taking one, Eric Gentry, linebacker out of USC. I got to say, man, I got to look back at our previous ones, but that might top it, dude. I mean, the trades, the idea of trading up, going to get those positions, and those guys falling, man. That might top our mock drafts.
Yeah, it might.
I'll play linebacker for the team. There you go.
I'll buy your jersey. What number are you going to wear?
Number 8 in the Steelers Yinzer slang.
8.
Hey, well, someone's got to wear it. Someone's got to. A-Rod has yet to make up his mind, so someone's got to wear it.
Yeah, for all those people that bought Kenny Pickett jerseys, y'all can repurpose it. Just tape over Philly G, and then bam, you guys
there
can
you go. Come on, coach, put them in.
Number 9.5.
9.5, yeah. How about 9.75? Harry Potter reference.
There you go. All right, fellas.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this was great, man. Thanks for coming on. It's always great to have you on. I'm glad we could finally find the time. It's been 2 weeks since we tried to get you on, but glad to get you on before the draft. And obviously, we're both going to the draft, so we'll probably see you there. Most likely, we'll see you there. But I can't wait.
Good time. It'll be a great time. I'll be at Draft Nation. They're doing a show on Thursday as well as Friday. You can buy tickets for the one on Thursday. I'll be there for that. The Steel Curtain Network also has a party that they're doing. You can buy tickets to that. You can go ahead and find more information for that on the website, or you can message one of the people on the channel and we can help you out. But yeah, it's going to be a great time.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. We'll definitely see you there. We'll see a lot of yins there. But dude, we are so close from not just the draft, but the draft being in Pittsburgh and being in the Steel City once again. It's been a while since we've been there. I know it's been a while since you've been there, so the drive will be worth it. I cannot wait.
Agreed.
But, yes, let us know your guys' thoughts down in the comments below. If you guys have any final mock drafts or your thoughts regarding this one, put them down in the comments below. But, Billy G, it's always a pleasure to have you back on. It's always a good time. And can't wait to do it again next year. We'll probably have you on later this season, depending on how it goes. It should be fun.
Absolutely. I'll see you all in a couple months when we're angry at the Steelers again.
Oh, man. I totally can't wait.
It'll be great. But love being on the show. Can't wait to do this again next year. I can't believe we're already at the draft pretty much. It's crazy, but let's go.
Let's go. Here we go, Steelers. That's my guys' thoughts, and we'll see you in the next one.
And as always, like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you later. Peace!